Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back live on Grant and Danny as Commanders Minicamp is ongoing in Ashburn. The show is brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm, Cundori and Murrah.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Everything under the sun. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
I want to get into the mayor and the comments made to the city council about the stadium deal that is on the table. We'll get to that in just about 2 minutes. But Elijah's in D.C. He's been waiting to talk wide receivers. Noah Brown carted off the field today at minicamp. Terry McLaurin still a no-show with a contract negotiation ongoing. You've got a hamstring issue for Michael Gallup. Elijah, what do you think?
Well, I think they get this done because I think they get this stuff done. One, because, you know, X receivers don't just, just grow on trees, if you would. You know, the mental makeup that goes into that for a team that's budding and trying to get to certain places. I think even the closer this gets to kickoff, if you would, I think it's less likely they get someone else because you got to get someone up to speed. And this just doesn't strike me as the type of time to start messing around with that. Now, because of the mismanagement from years and years, we have to acknowledge from the top, the GM, he has to do his due diligence to say, to put every single card that exists on the table, say, Terry is our guy, but we didn't draft him, which is it doesn't really matter at this point. But you have to still take into account different regimes and how they move and how they feel about the future and their guys and what's that next level, because there aren't that many guys from the last regime left. And I kind of seen them do the same deal in the first year. They bring on a lot of guys and then they kind of shave off to get to the next level. There may be another level of guys that get shaved. I'm not saying he's a part of that, but we have to accept.
You would think he'd survive,
right,
the cut down, so to speak, the shaving off.
Now, one day there'll be a shaving off, you know, and it's awkward. I mean, Art Monk played for the Jets. You know what I mean? Like, one of my favorite player ever. Brian Mitchell didn't end his career here. It happens, right? It's the cruel, miserable, harsh, desert, winter, forever reality of the NFL. Like, at some point, your usefulness wears out. That money, people start to look at it and go, that's a big amount of money for that production, and all of a sudden, you become expendable.
I got a tweet here from someone. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny, and there seems to me like they're portraying concern over the receiving room, just in general. The fact that if Brown's hurt, and what about Gallup and McLaurin? And what I would say is there is no game tomorrow. Like, everyone just relax a little bit, but you can't just... That can't be your plan. The fact that you don't have to play a game tomorrow is not the plan. That's the observation that says relax a little bit. A lot of these things will work themselves out. Maybe Brown's healthy. Maybe Gallup's healthy. McLaurin will certainly be back. But it doesn't mean that you can't also acknowledge that they might have to do something else. They might have to do more. They might have to be additive at that position. We'll get back into this as the show goes on. So let's get to the stadium and the latest from Mark Seagraves of NBC4. This dropped yesterday after our show last night. Mayor Bowser is warning the city council about a delay in passing the Commanders stadium. Remember the imposed deadline, I think by the team and the mayor on the city council, was mid-July, like around the 15th, which is about a month from right now. No real progress being made in terms of votes turning into yeses right now. But what she said was, let me emphasize, if the council strips the deal terms or budgeted dollars from the budget, it kills our agreement with the Commanders. The statement she's putting out is saying, we have a deal with the Commanders right now for these terms. If you start negotiating the terms and changing what you're willing to give them, we've got to start this thing all over again. This deal goes up in smoke. We had Councilmember White sitting in studio in that chair right there, 4 feet away from me. And he made it very clear that he viewed this not as the only offer, but as the beginning of a negotiation. That this is what the team wants. We're going to make our changes, and I'll tell you what works for us. And then we'll go back and forth on this. That is not what this was, according to the team or the mayor. That is what he and some of the council members perceive that this is or needs to be. And I understand from their perspective.
Right. Sure.
You weren't included. You're mad about it. You don't like this deal as much as you'd like another deal. So that's how negotiation normally goes. But it doesn't mean the reality is that that's what this is. It could just be the team saying, here's your deal, take it or leave it. But from Mayor Bowser, if the council wants to approve the Commander's deal to come to RFK, the time to debate the merits of the deal is now. A delay sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table and $2.7 billion in private investment. The Commanders and my team are ready to iron out the details with the council and respond to any concerns. It should be clear, but let me emphasize, if the council strips the deal terms or budgeted dollars from the budget, it kills our agreement with the team. She's literally saying, if you do that,
this or nothing.
Maryland's back on the table. I can't.
No, say it with a straight face. Go ahead.
You say, I can't. I honestly can't get it out.
Then Virginia could be a candidate for this. I can't. I can't.
Virginia's back at the table. I mean, the D.C. part of it exclusively is over. Now, they still want to be there, so it very well could still work out, and I would predict that it would. But she's saying, right now, they're trying to take us to the dance, and they've told Maryland, we're not going to the dance.
Right.
If you guys want to change what time they pick you up, what restaurant they go to, how they put the corsage on, if they're allowed to grind with you during Nelly, whatever
else. Hot in here, sure, yeah.
Yeah, like whatever the negotiation is, then they'll go back to Maryland. And she's just letting everybody know, here's the terms. Take them or leave them.
Yeah, which is an interesting framing. So I don't know where the truth is, honestly. I'm not calling anybody anything. I from one perspective, it sounds like, yeah, if we'd like to raise our hand and say, I'm making this up, so bear with me. Hey, we don't get any dollars for the parking structure we're building for 30 years. Could we have some? That's not crazy to me for the city to want to ask for that. Are they allowed to ask? Is this a take it or leave it situation? From one side, it sounds like this is the deal. Shut your mouth, yay or nay. Another side might say, why isn't there room for the team to not to pay more than $1 per year in taxes for the lifetime of the lease? Or who knows? So, yeah, there's different framing of it. I don't know how internal the debate is. This is also expected to me to some degree, talking from the mayor's perspective, as a, yeah, we need to, I'm putting some pressure. I'm putting the screws to you guys a little bit, going, bleeper, get off the pot here. We got to move. Because I think this is a priority for her, clearly, right?
Is this going better or worse than you guys anticipated? Or is this just business?
This is what it was to me.
So, and my point is, think about it through the lens of McLaurin.
Yep.
Everyone keeps going, oh my gosh, Terry McLaurin doesn't have a deal and he's not at minicamp. And I'm going, business of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Wake me up when training camp comes. I think that's what's happening here.
Me too.
Like, we could sit here and poke and prod every comment and look at what the council said. Look at what the mayor said. Oh, my God, she threw it back at them. They threw it back at her. Look what the team did. It feels like this is just the not going to minicamp part. Politics are at play. The spat is on.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday in Washington, D.C.
Right? I mean, is there something to be said, though, for this is not going well or this is not happening at the pace you'd like? the press conference, and we all learned our lesson from the Ted Leonsis Virginia Dog and Pony Show.
Well, what happened?
Which almost was real and could have happened, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
They're back in D.C., right? But from that press conference where I'm high-fiving anybody who will listen going, I got a stadium in my home state, the Commonwealth. I don't have to cross the river. First time in my life. Let's do this thing. Where's my town center? What kind of sports bars are going to be over there? Fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Learned our lesson.
Yes, we did.
So when that press conference happened, I thought, this is not a done deal. I've seen this before, but this is definitely going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, I know this one.
This is where the team wants it. You also, by the way, at one point in time, you had the commissioner of the NFL standing next to the president of the United States of America.
Never forget, man.
Standing next to the mayor of Washington, D.C., who that person has said terrible things about, who's willing, for the betterment of this deal, to just stand there and wear it. Then you've got the owner of the team. Like, the Avengers have assembled on this deal. I mean, you can't have more powerful people.
Like, seriously, all the clout you could want is right there.
You can't do any more to force things through than to have all those people standing shoulder to shoulder saying, here's what's happening. The NFL owns a day of the week. The team owns the operation. They're going to build the stadium. The city owns the land. The president's forcing things through. Like, whatever you want. It seemed like this is just inevitable. And then you fast forward to today, and the mayor is still basically trying to plead with the city council, like, I promise this is a good deal. Was this just inevitable? I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the National Stadium deal and how it all went with Anthony Williams and Linda Kropp and everybody in between, where the amount of back and forth and posturing and, you know, because everybody right now, the casual viewer, right, there's plugged in Peter. There's someone that, like, lives and breathes local D.C. politics, you know, and they're very excited about everything, good, bad, and different, right? But then there's also the regular person who doesn't live and breathe that kind of thing, right? They're not a local D.C. politics wonk. They're here because they like a sports team or a stadium or whatever. There's an opportunity for everybody to get their shine. How often are you and I going to have Robert White on? I was actually impressed with him. Nice guy.
I like
charming, a lot of charisma. But, like, how often are you and I going to have, hey, with us in the studio right now is Brooke Pinto to break down the Nationals bullpen.
Brooke Pinto guy?
We're not doing that. So they've all got a chance now to showcase themselves, and they get to espouse their views and increase their Q rating and answer every question and look really cool and say what they stand for and get themselves known, right? So they're going to take that opportunity. How much of that is theatrics? How much of that is standing firm to what you believe in? I kind of roll my eyes at any kind of principled stance that anybody espouses. I've lived here long enough to sort of, you know, read between the lines a little bit. So to me, it's a long way of saying this is just the machine working. And it doesn't work in a way that would work in the private sector. It doesn't work in a way that you and I would be able to get away with. It doesn't work in a way that anybody would be able to do anything other than local government. This is what it looks like. So I still think we're in the posturing phase. I still think that one side saying there's a deadline, the other side saying, there's not though, right? And one side saying we need a better deal, the other side saying this is the deal. I think it happens. I think we're still doing that. This your Terry McCorn analogy, Grant Harrison Paulson, if I could say that, is perfect. It's exactly what this is. But this isn't our normal bailiwick.
I do think, though, there was a path where this would have been going better, maybe if not realistic. And I guess that's all that matters. But where there was more support, where instead of four yeses right now, we had six, you know, or instead of the immediate pushback from the head of the council, you know, he was more positive, Mendelsohn on it, or whoever it is, White or any of the other no's. I mean, you had a couple of people that aren't even willing to answer questions or come on the show, the Nadeau and, you know, a couple of the others, like, that are just like, never 1 cent for a stadium ever in a million years. Ideally, it's just a bunch of people that are willing to listen and then see, okay, well, what do we like, what don't we like? And even from the other side, maybe, I think it's a really good deal for the city because of the amount of money that the owners are paying. But maybe, you know, in a perfect world, there is more of a negotiation, and perhaps there still will be. I don't know. But while I think what's happened was somewhat expected, and this is all part of the politics of D.C. and the absolute knockdown, drag-out fight that this thing was always going to be, I'd love to just be able to fast forward to the end. Because a lot of times these things feel inevitable, but there's just going to be these ebbs and these flows and these peaks and these valleys. It's like the Snyder sale. I mean, how many different twists and turns over
Endless.
Something
endless.
We didn't know forever, but I would say for the last 7-8 months, we all had a pretty good feeling it was going to happen. But the day-to-day, when you're just living and dying with the story, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like a fool. I mean, you look like one of the Lost Boys running back and forth between Peter Pan and Rufio. Which side are you on? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Is it going to happen? Whereas you were better off just not following anything from a 10,000-foot view and saying, yeah, this looks, he hired a bank, they're doing this, it's going to, the league's pushing him out, and you got this owner, Irsay, saying this, he's selling. Instead, we just were glued to everything. We're like, oh, maybe he's not. Oh, now it's Bezos. Now it's not Bezos. Now do they have a buyer? Who's this guy?
Tillman Fertitta.
Yeah, whatever the hell that guy's
name. What was the Canadian guy's name?
Steve Apostolopoulos.
Look at this. Look at this.
Thank you.
Look at that.
I couldn't do Tillman Fertitta, but I could do Steve
Apostolopoulos. You won't spell Apostolopoulos right now.
I don't remember how to spell it.
Let me look it up. Here we go.
Apostolopoulos. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-P.
Uh-huh. This is where it gets.
O.
Yeah.
L.
Oh.
U. S.
See, it's that last P-O-U-L-O-S.
That one's tough.
I want it to be P-O-L-O-U, like O-S, like that O-U-S, like,
yes.
You know, like dollhouse or something like that, you know, even though it's not exactly the pronunciation. But it's that P-O-U-L that gets you.
What if it was Steve Apostolopoulos?
Remember, like, there was, like, this weird skepticism at his offer. They're like, yeah, we're not sure how real it is. We're not sure if he's got the money.
The guy's name that the junkies had on who tried to buy the team in cash? Brian something.
Oh, what was that guy's name?
Like, live locally.
Yeah.
He had this billion-dollar idea for, like,
But he didn't actually have the money, but he had the IP for money.
Right. Well, yeah, that was my favorite part. It's like, I don't have a plan. I have the concepts of a plan. It was like this, Brian Davis. It was this billion-dollar idea.
Dude.
It was something to do with, like, energy and, what are they called? Like, the panels that face the sun. Remember?
Yeah.
And he was worth a lot of money because, even though he didn't have it.
But he claimed to be.
I just remember that he was one of the junkies. And, like, there was a time where a lot of people thought he was actually buying the team, and I thought that was very funny.
And that lot of people, listening to him talk for like 5 minutes, and I went, oh no.
Before I ever got to that far, I said, this is not a real thing that's happening. Just pretty quickly just rule this one out.
Okay.
Cursory look into his background, probably not going to own the team. And then about 2 minutes into that 35-minute interview, I went, this will not be the owner of the Washington
Commanders.
I don't
think this one's that likely. This one. This particular. Yeah. Dude, I totally forgot about that.
What a fun summer.
I'm going to take a deep dive down that memory lane tonight. I'm doing that one tonight.
There was like a Channel 9. What was the guy's name that's out in L.A. who was our buddy? Darren Haynes was like, the latest on Brian Davis's purchase of the Commander. Like every day they
were. No.
It's like, really?
Really? The latest?
Did you hear the interview he did on the radio?
You may not have caught that one.
Are you sure about this?
The unserious bid to buy the team.
He's being frozen out of all discussions. The guy that doesn't have the money to buy the team?
I too was frozen out of the discussions.
He gave them a suitcase with IOUs. Like, that's the guy we're talking
about.
As
good as money, sir.
That was a good time.
That was great. Steve Apostolopoulos, Brian Davis, and Tillman Fertitta.
I think that so far everything that's happening is not in any way alarming or damaging, but I wish it was going better. That's all I'm going to say. I wish more people were
just gung-ho and done.
Well, not even gung-ho. Yes, that, but like just starting to come together a little bit, whereas it just seems like it's still intractable on both sides. Hey, this is the deal. This doesn't work for us. We got a month here.
Uh-huh.
It might be time to
right. Where else are the compromises coming? You know, again, it's stupid local politics. So it may just be that if I'm making this up, the guy from Ward 4 is going, I'm a no right now, but if I get, I'm making this number up, $50,000 in funding for my new rec center, I'll turn to a yes. It's got nothing to do with the deal.
But then what if he doesn't turn to a yes? We call that the Louise Lucas.
And then you got to post so many memes.
And we get a little meme or
meme it up. But yeah, I don't know. So again, I always harken back to the National Stadium thing where Linda Kropp, who was the council chair, took it off a ballot at one point. It was like, it's time to vote. It's going to happen. She goes, it's now off the ballot. Oh my God, we're starting over again. Then she came back with, we're going to go to a different site that nobody had discussed. What is happening? This is the proposal. I mean, we went through this odyssey back then.
Odyssey.
And it was, part audacious, one part long journey where you're returning home, an odyssey.
Oh, that's right.
So you're audacious, but it's an audacious odyssey.
Did you guys hear TJ Oshie on the show from his retirement press conference? We're going to play a couple of minutes of that for you when we return next. We want to talk about his likability and who else in D.C. is on that Oshie level in terms of popularity among our current athletes. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. We had the privilege on Monday to broadcast live from TJ Oshie's retirement celebration. Boy, did the Capitals put on a heck of a party for their great legendary wing who helped them win a Stanley Cup. All I keep thinking, Danny, is if that was the Oshie retirement celly, what is the Ovechkin one going to look like? You got to go bigger.
Yeah. I talked to Derek Forrest, our buddy from DC News Now, asked me that same question. Junk's talked about it. Like, if that's the baseline, and God, we love TJ Oshie. I'm not knocking TJ Oshie. Heart and soul guy, but the dude that's 22nd in points in team history got a beautiful, wonderful, generous, awesome send-off, well-deserved and incredible.
The correct send-off.
Yeah, what do you do for the greatest goal scorer ever to live? What do you do for the guy that is responsible for youth hockey participation in this region? I don't know.
Likeability out the wazoo for TJ Oshie. If you want to talk popularity and just, what is the presidential term? The approval rating for TJ Oshie, it's one of the highest that we've ever had for a DC athlete based on how he conducts himself and plays. But we caught up with him. I want to talk about other athletes that could be on the same level as him, maybe on the other side of this conversation. But we wanted to play some of it for you. This was Oshie from just after he gave his very emotional speech on Monday.
I'm better now. That was hard.
That's not easy, right?
That was a tough one, man.
That you were probably dreading that most of the day, in a sense. I mean, just the speech part of it, and because that's hard to get through.
Yeah. No. I've been editing that thing for the last couple of days, and today, this right before we left, was the first time I read it out loud, and I was getting choked up in my office by myself, and so I was like, oh boy,
yeah,
here we go. But I saw Ryan Zimmerman, who him and Backy were all neighbors. We got a little triangle around our preschool, and he's obviously been through it, and I just saw him on the way up here, and he's like, it's so much harder when you got everyone right there and you're looking at them. So,
and everyone's staring at you, right?
I know. Yeah. I know. I do not like to be the center of attention. So much better when it's like Ovi and you're here for Ovi stuff. And then you can do, like, you know, the interviews after. But yeah, when you're on there, it's tough.
I'm sure this is a day, while not one that you look forward to necessarily, that you know is coming inevitably for some period of time. What a fitting venue for it. We're at the Fountain, where you guys celebrated the Cup 7 years ago, and there are thousands of Caps fans out here cheering for you. It's hard to do better than this for a day like today.
No, it is. It's hard to do better than this. And we, I actually reached out to Sergey, our PR guy, who's one of the best in the biz, and I asked him. I was like, hey, how does this work? Should I just put something on social media, or do you want to make a press release? And he's like, no, let's do something great. He's like, you mean a lot to the organization and the city. Let's do something with everyone involved. So he kind of took the reins on this thing. He was asking me some dates, and I was like, well, June 9th is like the day that we went.
So
the
that was, I said, whoever
that was my idea.
That's big.
That was my idea. Amazing. I was like, why don't we do it then? I mean, June 7th is such a big day because not only did we win the Cup, I was the best man of a bachelor party that I had planned that started on June 7th. So my best friend's bachelor party started that day. My brother's birthday and my father-in-law's birthday is all June 7th. And so I knew the timeline pretty well, and I was like, hey, I don't want to take anything away from the team on June 7th. Let's maybe do the Fountain. And it worked out.
I think people have such a hard time understanding, right? The on-ice stuff is what we get to see as fans, but you referenced it in your speech and then talking to Joe B. and Locker. It's the things that no one ever gets to see with your teammates in the room and those kind of memories. Just how unique an experience is that when you kind of look back on your career, all the guys that you get to know in this really unique thrown together family where you guys see each other more than your actual families a lot of times for months on end.
Yeah, it really is a special thing. And, you know, I can't imagine being in a place where the whole team doesn't love each other and doesn't love the little things like going out for a beer when the plane lands, you know, real quick before dinner, or hanging out in the locker room for longer than your wife would like you to. Like, it's a special place, and you don't get to see it as a fan, but that's where the team comes together. That's where we get close. That's why we have success on the ice. It's really hard to be a good team and a good playoff team when everyone's kind of going their own ways and there's a click over here, and, you know, sometimes based on like where you're from, you know, there's whatever, Russians over here, Americans, other Europeans, whatever it is, dads, young guys. The best teams that I've been on, and most of the team, almost all of them here, we've all been one. And you just don't get that anywhere else. I don't care if you're playing in your country club's member tournament, or if you're in a tennis club or a book club. It's not like the team. So that's something that I'll always miss, and my most cherished memories is not on the ice. It's in the locker room.
Thought it was fitting you talked about that early July date, 16, when you got traded to the Capitals. And we don't know what that's like. Most people can't relate to that. But there's a closing of the book that we don't think about for you in St. Louis that's really emotional. But man, if it didn't change your career in so many ways for the better. I mean, what did you know about the organization? Like, what were your thoughts about the Caps as you came here? Because now you'll be synonymous with this team forever.
I think when you're out west, especially in my younger years, you didn't see the East that much. And even to this day, you still don't. I think back then, sometimes they weren't even in town. So I didn't know a lot except for Alex Ovechkin was here and Nicklas Backstrom was here. I think it's out there. I'm not like a big hockey nerd. I'm not watching every game. And that's really all I knew besides a couple other guys. I knew about Johnny playing with him in the Olympics. But other than that, it was hard. I mean, their words, not mine, but you know, I was considered one of the fan favorites in St. Louis. And all we had talked about was, what's the problem? Why can't we beat Chicago? Why can't we beat LA? And then when you're the guy that gets traded, it's like, oh, they think it's me. And so that was a tough pill to swallow. But like I said in my speech, I mean, Mac right away, the excitement in his voice when I talked to him, and then the next couple of days with the fans, with Foz, with Blaine Forsythe, our power play coach, bringing me right in. He's like, I need to show you a couple things.
Wow.
And he's like, you're going to be perfect for this spot. And I was like, yes, I'm not even on the first power play in St. Louis. This is going to be great. and so, you know, in my last year in St. Louis, I felt like I was kind of getting, you know, pushed out a little bit playing time wise and not team wise. The guys were really great to me. I loved them. Fans were amazing, but, I was going through a rough time. I really was. My daughter was just born. She was born with a gastroschisis, so we were in the NICU for the first 3 weeks of her life. And I was navigating being a new father. And the trade really, it honestly changed my life and really jump-started the last half of my career.
TJ, this has been a real treat, man. It was awesome to watch you. Congrats on getting through it, too, in addition to the next chapter of your life, man. Well-earned, my friend.
Thank you so much. It was, yeah. Trust me, I was choked up there. Thank God I had the lemonade with me. That was a tough one.
Delicious lemonade.
Yeah.
Why didn't you drink the lemonade right through your dress shirt?
I should. I fans ask me all the time, and I tell them I'm saving it for cup celebrations only.
Okay.
But now that that's out. Who knows?
But we had bets on whether you're going to jump in the fountain today. You showed up in the white pants.
And we knew it was gone.
No fountain.
I was I'm still prepared. it looks refreshing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You in the fountain. A story as old as time, man.
Yeah.
You guys get in the same place. You just start staring at each other. Thank you. It means a lot to get you on for a couple minutes. And congrats, seriously.
Thank you.
And congrats.
You thanks, boys.
TJ Oshie, we talked a lot on Monday about why he's so beloved. I think it's just that people watched him and they knew how much fun he was having and how much he cared. Who else in DC sports right now has that level of likability? Doesn't have to be a superstar, an all-star, one of the better players necessarily, although Oshie was a really good one and one of the best on the team for years, helped them win a championship. But if we're just talking approval rating, who are some of the guys that have the highest? First guy that came to mind for me was Terry McLaurin.
That's a good one. Different personalities, certainly, but you know, McLaurin, a little bit, I don't want to say more soft-spoken, because it's not as if Oshie was constantly out in front doing interviews
similar,
and stuff.
Honestly. McLaurin's a little bit less of a like life of the party guy, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the one leading them into the fountain. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's just kind of, well, I will say some of the locker room audio and stuff that comes out, he seems to be, when he's just around the guys in private, maybe more outspoken. But he seems, at least what we get to see, to be pretty reserved, whereas Oshie's more of a wild card, like fun, the guy that you got to watch at the party because he's going to jump off the thing from really high up or whatever.
Right. It's like, hey, look over there. And next thing you know, he like swaps out your soda for a beer. I mean, yeah, I don't think there are any wizards right now because they're so young and they're not really letting their hair down just yet. Right. And nobody really wants to hear about your personality when you're losing 60 games. But, you know, Jordan Poole would be that way. Honestly, if they were good, you know, a quirky kind of march to your own
You would
type
consider
guy?
Him ultra likable or very high approval rating?
So if they were really good, then maybe you could see it. But my point is there's nobody on the Wizards right now that I would put in there.
Yeah, because I don't – yeah, I wouldn't have him on my list.
Like, to me, I'm going, I'm not – that act, I'm not interested in it because you're losing 60 games.
I was going to say, I think he's actually polarizing.
So
– takes bad shots. Yeah, like, people don't enjoy his game frequently. But anyway.
Yeah, so for the football team, I mean, obviously Jaden Daniels is the first guy. Just the everything is the grinning and humble and kind and aw shucks and while he's out there trying to kill you, you know, like as an opponent. That one comes to mind, but I think McLaurin might be the best comp.
McLaurin's a good one. The other one I would have come up with, I think James Wood is closing in on this too, in that not only maybe the problem is like stardom is destined, whereas Oshie was more really good, like will over skill type guy to some extent. And I don't want to take away from him. Oshie was very skilled, but never scored 40 goals, only scored 30 goals once. You know, you think about it like from a home run perspective, James Wood's going to be a 35 home run guy in his first full season in the majors maybe this year. But I think the way he handles himself, he is almost energyless off of the field. You know, he's very quiet, very reserved. I've really taken to like enjoy his personality and getting to know him and talk to him a little bit in the clubhouse now and seeing his big smile. But I mean, he's likable in that sense. Like, I'm not sure that there's ever been a more unassuming, casual, great, great player that I've been around.
Right. The guy that I would say could be this, and again, not the same as Oshie exactly, but the fun-loving, goofy, pretty good player, could be here for a long time. If Nathaniel Lowe had come up through this organization and had been here for a while and, you know, would have a 10-year Nationals run where he's mostly a middle-of-the-order bat, playing a good first base, like, that dude is hilarious, funny, life of the party. Doesn't quite look like everybody else. You know, he's not the chiseled athlete with the rock solid abs and, you know, 4% body fat running around there. Looks like a dude that got lost from the keg party that's hitting the middle of the order for you. You know, like that guy would be a fan favorite, I think, if he was here for longer.
Definitely. Nonchalant for James Wood is the word I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Like just a guy that is so unassuming and casual. And I think that translates to likable. Even on MLB Network yesterday, I went back and I got to see a couple of the clips of him and C.J. Abrams. They were in Secaucus at the TV headquarters. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he leveled up. He didn't like put on...
Let me ramp it up for TV.
He wasn't like, let me turn up the energy and put on a big show for television. He was just James Wood. I'm just here, like I'm talking to my buddies. There's not going to be a whole lot of excitement oozing from me, but he's pleasant, he's friendly, but I just kind of... His demeanor is outstanding. I love it, and it's part of why I think he's had the success he has it at such a young age. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're going to blitz right at the top of the hour in 20 minutes at 4 o'clock. And a Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk, is on the show at 4:30 today on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Me and Ryan just spent the break looking at a Mike Morse home run that went above the red porch. That dude had power.
Yeah, light tower power.
He could hit a nuke. The Beltway Blitz coming up, covering the Nats. They deserved better as a starting rotation last night. Mackenzie Gore was nails.
Every year, there's got to be a guy that can't get wins. That you look at his record and go, what happened? This is what happens.
4-2 lead when he left the ballgame last night and they lost the game in extras. We'll talk to Dave Jagler about that. Mike Jones of The Athletic talking NFL football, and then we'll cover the Commanders with Michael Phillips of Odyssey Richmond all coming up on the Beltway Blitz. Got a couple of tweets about very likable DC athletes after last segment. Matt says Chris Cooley is a good personality.
That's a great one.
Cooley was beloved. And he and Oshie, I think, are similar in the way of like, yeah, very true. Personality-wise, like life of the party, kind of like the bro that you'd want to bring with you because you'd have fun and they'd do the crazy thing and everyone would laugh.
Like who among the then Redskins would go in the fountain? I bet you 47 would.
This is a funny Twitter name, Meaty Thighs. Meaty Thighs says, Tressway and Mikey Sanders still. In terms of very likable.
Yeah, good comps, yeah.
I agree with that. I don't have a negative word to say about either guy, and I don't know what Commanders fan would. And Tress, he's been around for so long, he's absolutely beloved. He's reached that level. It is time for our double play. We do it every day right now, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal in a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Rest in peace to a music legend. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys passed away. Saw via his Twitter account that's now been kind of passed around. Someone on his behalf announced his passing in his late 70s.
82, I thought I saw.
Oh, I got that wrong. I thought it was late 70s. Hard to overstate their impact. So what happened later on in the kind of the life of the Beach Boys is people sort of think of them as this kind of gimmick that would like show up on Full House with Uncle Jesse. You know, and then like he's playing with them.
I saw them perform live with Uncle Jesse on the drums.
And that completely belittles and belies how unbelievably prolific this band was. So there's an argument to be made. It's one that I would make, certainly. They are the greatest American rock band ever. America leads the league in solo artists. We get everybody from Elvis to Michael Jackson to Madonna to everybody in between. But bands, Britain had kind of gotten over on us a few different times over, right? Whether it's the Beatles or the Rolling Stones and everything in between. They were contemporaries of the Beatles, and they were almost, and you saw a little bit of this in that brilliant Beatles documentary on Disney Plus that came out a couple of years ago that Peter Jackson put together. But contemporaries of theirs, it was only good. It was like having a Magic and Bird going back and forth, right? Where George Harrison was influenced by what George Clapton was doing guitar-wise, you know, marveling at the guy's skill. So, too, were bands looking at the Beatles, who had just come out with Rubber Soul, as the Beach Boys were getting ready to put out Pet Sounds, one of the most important and influential albums of all time. One of the things that you use in when you're talking about SFGP is writing that second bestseller as one of your analogies, which is such a good one. It's very apt. They started out as the ultimate pop rock kind of band, where it's Surfing USA, kind of the gimmicky sort of California, we're just the surfer boys. It's very low key and very low stakes. A total and complete departure of like everything from beautiful, heartfelt stuff like God Only Knows, which I cannot tell you how many people have played that at their wedding or for a first dance or to walk down the aisle, to everything in that album is totally different than what they'd done before. And it kind of gave rise to everything from psychedelic rock to pop rock to, you know, influencing the Beatles themselves and other bands. We look at that and went, oh my God, that's what's possible. We can still have commercial success. They've sold well over 100 million albums, lifetime, the Beach Boys had, and kind of expand our sound and do things differently than we had done before. We have enough credibility with our audience. As long as it's good, you can get away with it. So Brian Wilson was one of the driving forces behind that band, him and two brothers, for so many years. He poured his heart and soul into one album after Pet Sounds that people didn't like and didn't get released initially. And he was basically all but out of the band for a while and was estranged from them. And it was this terrible divorce. And, you know, it was only kind of later that there was reconciliation. But a true genius and innovator gone after an amazing life.
So I pulled up Classic Rock and Culture, a website, and just looking at their ranking of the top 50 American bands ever, they've got the Beach Boys 1. They have Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers 2. Others in the conversation here, Van Halen, they ranked third. Mm-hmm. CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, yeah, which is...
Aerosmith will be in there, too.
That's basically just the Forrest Gump, soundtrack. CCR.
Seriously. Yeah, they're in every soundtrack, by the way.
Aerosmith, The Doors, R.E.M., mm-hmm. The Eagles, Simon and Garfunkel, Steely Dan, some of the others. But, yeah, I mean, you could probably advocate the Allman Brothers or Nirvana, or there's mm-hmm. different people, the Ramones, like different strokes. But the Beach Boys, man, when I was in elementary school, me and my two brothers at like a talent show did a bit where we had surfboards and we pretended to do a Beach Boys song and we like danced to it and it was wacky. So you think about just how random that is. Like we're kids, that was our big talent show song. And that was
so funny.
Decades after they had performed it. Time for my double play. I actually wanted to talk a lot more about this, and maybe we could circle back to it later in the show. But my God, is cable broadcast, I'll use news lightly here, but news television terrible? I do my best to avoid it. Like, I get the news. I've got to stay somewhat informed, so I've got different places I like to read and a couple Substacks and things that I belong to. But the other day, it's late at night. I'm seeing all these tweets about Los Angeles and what's going on and whatever. So I'm like, let me just check this out and see what's what.
Mm-hmm.
I flipped through a couple of the different news networks. They all have seven people sitting around a table screaming at each other.
I don't know who it's for.
How does anyone watch this? It's the worst television in the world. Now, I don't know just who it's for. I mean, you could pick any of them, right? MSNBC, Fox News, CNN. I don't care. You guys care? I don't care. But like this particular example, the first one I went to was like CNN. And I'm not exaggerating. They had six people around a table. And they were talking over each other the entire time.
Yep.
There was a viral clip about the NBA's halftime show that came out, which is fairly unwatchable, by the way. It's pretty awful. But the clip was like, how does anyone watch this? And it was Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins and I think
Bob Myers
and maybe one other person, like all talking at the same time for 6 seconds. And they weren't even on camera, so you couldn't see them talking. It was like voiceover video of highlights. It was the worst thing I'd ever heard. But that's what this show was for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Every time I think it was Abby Phillip or something. Every time this woman would introduce a topic, which she's an analyst herself, so she did a bad job doing that because she's like giving in a long-winded opinion and not just teeing them up with questions. Like she's throwing this thing out there, and then the same three people start yelling at each other and literally yelling mm-hmm. at each other and talking over each other. And all I could think is, why does anyone watch this show?
I can't figure out who it's for.
It's all of them, though.
That's what I mean.
On the right-wing channel, the left-wing channel, it's too many people. The NFL's doing all this stuff now where it's more and more people at the desk. But at least they go down the line and everyone just makes a quick take.
You got a point guard that at least is going to try to facilitate it.
Exactly. And, but this poor host had no chance.
Yeah.
I mean, it would go a minute and a half of just everyone shouting and no one making any actual points that could be heard before she would finally get control again. And then they would go back to somewhere else.
And that's the show, by the way. That's it.
It was so awful.
Yeah.
And I thought, no wonder why TV ratings for these networks are down. I'm trying to watch this and hear something, and I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
It was literally the worst television I've seen in years.
The worst parts of sports TV where it's descended to, again, like the OG is, pardon the interruption, two guys that have great chemistry going back and forth. Or think of here locally, the Sports Junkies. You sleep on four, not you personally, Grant, but four dudes in a room debating and arguing about stuff and not stepping on each other constantly, it ain't easy. Do that with any of you and your buddies. They don't have that, these panel shows. It's everybody just talking over and shouting and trying to get a talking point in, and it's not entertaining, it's not informative. It's the worst thing we've got going, and everyone's going, let's do more of that. Every network's going, not only sign me up for that, but let's make another show that does that. I don't get it.
I don't even really have a problem with cutting each other off when they're talking. I think that's how conversations work. Like, sometimes you don't jump in when I'm doing a long winded, thinks you're waiting for me to stop talking. That's not how conversations generally right. work, and it shouldn't be how radio works. Like, occasionally I'm going to jump in, then you jump in, you cut me off, I cut you off. It's not personal. I'm not taking it personally.
It's very personal.
I wouldn't mind that on television, by the way. Mm-hmm. But it isn't that. It's literally long-winded speaking over each other. Like, when you stop me, you know what I have to do? I have to stop now and then counter or
yeah.
add to what you said. That's not what they're doing.
No,
they're literally
not.
All just like they're the only one in the room. And at one point, I'm not exaggerating this. I have to see if I can find a video for you. It was like four people.
No, I just can't.
All just going on these long-winded takes. And I'm like, what is this? This is the worst thing. This is terrible.
It's so bad.
But I went to the other one. Same thing. They're all doing it. Who said we need seven people to sit at the desk?
Somebody somewhere went yes to this. Not only this one, but we're going to keep greenlighting all of them. It's so bad. It's never been worse.
The Beltway Blitz is next. Marshall Faulk is on the show at 4:30.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.